What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got football picks coming up in about 10 minutes. What do you say we hit the calls here, BT?
Yeah, let's roll.
888-808-1019. We've obviously been talking a lot about Pete Alonso. We had Nick Costos on to do some divisional round previews. So check out anything you might have missed on the free Odyssey app. We also talked about Jessica Alba and her new divorce and her movies. But back to Pete Alonso. He's the main topic again. And the Mets and just the lack of trust that it seems the fan base has in the organization. Eric is in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I feel I'm good. I feel like with Pete, he tried to bet on himself, and I think he was banking on emotion instead of productivity the last few years. And I know you guys touched on it a little bit earlier, but the last 2 years have been a little rough to watch him, man. And do you guys think that maybe, you know, I'm a big Lindor guy.
Mm-hmm.
But bringing Lindor in kind of and seeing him get that bag kind of maybe put Pete in a situation where he's like, I'm going to get the bag too based on I'm the original guy here, you know, and obviously that's just not the case.
Well, there's a lot of bags to go around. I mean, you know, Judge got his bag. Stanton has his bag. You got it for the Marlins first, but Yanks obviously paid a lot. I mean, it's not like there's one bag. You know, I mean, for some teams, there's no bags. I mean, these smaller market teams, but for the Yanks and now the Mets and the Dodgers and the Phillies and some multiple bags.
Soto got his, Nimmo got his, Lindor got his,
yeah.
Manaea got his.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. It's the market. Again, that's what I mean. I don't think this is about the Mets disrespecting Pete Alonso, especially the owner, because you could say that Stearns doesn't value Pete, and that's fine, and maybe that's smart. And I know you do agree, BT, from a baseball perspective, that you would be in alignment with Stearns, maybe not valuing Pete Alonso as he projects. But the owner clearly wanted him back to a certain extent because they offered him a fair market value deal 2 years ago. Since then, the market has come down to reality, and Pete has not been very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are two major reasons to why we're here today talking about 3 years, $68 million for Alonso.
I'm sure there's one or two, but, you know, I take a lot of pride in knowing a lot about baseball. Not everything, obviously, but I'm a pretty good stat guy. You know that?
Yes, yeah.
There's not many superstars in the middle of their prime that have back-to-back bad seasons. There's the occasional, wow, what was that? All right, maybe he had a back injury, kind of concealed it for a little bit. Or he missed, you know, 57 games with a hamstring pull or a quad or something. I mean, when you're healthy and you post every day and you're in your late 20s, as he was during the two down years, back-to-back, averaging now last year the down RBIs and home runs, that just doesn't happen to superstars. It doesn't.
And it's hard and really odd saying, well, he had a down year when he had 46 homers and 118 ribbies, but it was of minimal impact because the Mets didn't have a good season in 2023. And he hit 217. Like, that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that you hit 40. Like, that's not even Adam Dunn type territory, right? Dunn used to hit probably more. I forget the exact numbers.
Adam Dunn is from an average perspective.
Well, he was brutal with the average. Well,
awful.
No, maybe he was.
He was pretty, like 220s.
Well, we in our minds, we thought it was awful, but maybe back then, like, 250 was worse.
I think he was lower than 250. I don't think 220? He was quite that. I think he was more 220s.
All right.
Big Donkey.
Yeah, Big Donkey Dunn.
He had some 260s in there.
What was, but at the end, like the last five,
at the
6 years?
About 204, 159.
Well, yeah, how many homers? How many homers?
40. In 2012, he hit 41 homers with 204 average.
All right, how old was he?
31?
32.
All right, what did he do at age 30? Done.
38 home runs, bad 260.
All right, I mean, 260.
So, a little higher than I thought that 1 year.
Okay. But yeah, the point is, Pete's career average is 250. He hit 240 this year, which is fine, but then the power numbers dropped, mm-hmm. 34 and 88. And it wasn't even just about the numbers. If you watch him every day the way that we do, minimal impact. How many times did you and I, over the course of the summer, have the conversation of, let's rank the most impactful Mets?
Oh.
Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo had a stretch, Iglesias was
yes,
up there.
Yes.
Pete was never on the list.
We really didn't mention him. I know. And it wasn't shade. It was just the way it was.
Until Milwaukee,
yeah.
The last at-bat of the season, his Mets career on the line, their season on the line, he hit the big home run, which was the biggest home run of the year. But until then, he didn't have an impact. So it wasn't just 34 and 88 and 240. It was minimal impact. Whereas the years prior, in 2022, 40, 131, 271, it's a big year, and he had good impact, and the Mets were good.
Mm-hmm.
53, 120 in his rookie season, and 260. Those are monster numbers. Even in 2021, hitting 262, 37, and 94. Like, those were good years. The last 2 years, even though some of the numbers were there a couple years ago, just weren't very
Yeah,
good.
And if he's playing third base, or he's playing right field, or he's playing left field, or... I mean, you wouldn't have those numbers as a catcher. But, like, those three positions, guess what? He's got a deal. But he's a first baseman who's 30, who's righty, and he can't move.
Jay is calling from Chester, New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, you know what would be cool? To hang out in a sports bar watching a Met-Yankee game with you guys. Yeah, that's the way I feel every time I hear the show.
Well, we appreciate that very much. And by the way, maybe we can make that a reality, BT.
Yeah, we got to get one with sales
these,
on that.
One of these Subway Series games? Mm-hmm. Go hang out in a bar with
big everybody. Venue. Big venue.
Soto Judge.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
We Set like it, Jay. What's on your mind?
All right, Sal, this is twofold for you. Number one is, we really haven't been talking about what's going on with Iglesias and would you sign Stanek? And then I have a thing about Pete after that.
I think that they're waiting to see what the market is for Iglesias. Earlier, it seemed like there was going to be, you know, $5 million offers for him. I don't know if I would go that nuts, but I think they're waiting it out. Stanek, sure, I'd take him back, but I'm not going to overpay. I'd rather do better right now. I think the Mets' priority right now at this moment as we speak is going to be potentially Iglesias, but I think it's going to be high-end reliever. Go ahead with your second one.
All right, thank you. The other one is, I know, I tell you, you must have a migraine talking about this Pete situation. And it's frustrating as a Mets fan. And I'm going to do, I'm going to be Stearns for a minute. You know, the scrap heap, you know, he gets these guys and, oh, my God, he's selling this guy. And some of them work out, right? Now, I'm looking at this list of all the available first basemen, and you look at it and you got to take Pepto-Bismol. I mean, it's like, you know, Joe Connor, Joey Gallo, you know, Ty France, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And let's say this thing with Guerrero doesn't work out if he goes elsewhere. I'm going to throw this at you. What about Justin Turner? Just for like a season.
He has not signed yet. And thank you for the call, Jay, and we do appreciate the kind words. He has not signed Justin Turner yet, Hoff? He's still a free agent?
I'm not even sure.
Now, remember, too, you shouldn't just be looking at the first baseman. You also be looking at the third baseman.
Yep.
And
Vientos could flip.
Yeah, and forget those other options, whoever you're naming those guys that you'd want no part of. The Mets are also going to do to kind of what they did a year ago and say, all right, well, we'll move Vientos to first. And give Beatty a chance, or give Mauricio a chance. What if Mauricio, who showed some promise, what if he turns into a good player?
I know.
All of a sudden we're talking about, wow, look at the production they're getting. They're not paying him anything. And here's a young guy they let get an opportunity to make the most of it, like Vientos did.
Are you worried at all about, let's say Vientos does move to first base. It's not like you're going from catcher to the outfield, or from the outfield to catcher, or third base to catcher. It's not an incredibly arduous transition, but... it's different, you know, and you got some different things coming at you. Would you worry that would set him back at the plate?
The way that I would phrase it is that I am not 1,000% confident we're going to see a repeat performance from Vientos in year two. I believe it will be the case,
mm-hmm.
but I just like there's still a little doubt. And if you add on top of that changing positions, I guess I would say I need to see it. I need to see how he handles first base. I think he's got the right mindset for it. That, to me, is not the question. You know, will he make the proper adjustments to the pitchers who are now going to adjust to him after 1 year? And remember, if you factor in year number two and the adjustments, and then a position change on top of it.
Well, that's why I asked.
I think it makes another little pinch of doubt probably in there. Would you be concerned about that?
Not entirely. He seems to be, I mean, I don't want to say beyond struggling, obviously. That's ridiculous. I feel like he's, I'll use the word beyond getting in his own head and derailing himself.
Right.
I just think he's a hitter.
He might be better at first.
Yeah, he could be. Could actually free him up a little bit.
He was, nobody thought he could be good at third. And when I mean nobody, I mean the Mets.
Nobody. Yeah. Starting with them.
Right. And then he,
it's okay.
Yeah, he proved to be pretty solid.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold over there. Darren is calling from Tampa, Florida. What's up, Darren?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Look, you guys are on the way wrong side of this. I'm surprised with you too, Sal. I mean, listen, I understand we can look at numbers, you know, on a baseball reference or the back of a baseball card and say that there's been down years, but you cannot ever discredit key moments, right? And I'm not just talking about the home run in Milwaukee, which we all know and we all saw, but it's the three home runs in that postseason, as well. It's also the game that we won against San Diego where he hit the the home run in the fifth inning to give us the lead in the only playoff game that we won that year. Again, the knocks that we have on guys like Judge is that they don't perform in the postseason. Alonso does, and the guy that you want to replace him with, Sal, is a 136 career hitter in the postseason. Three different trips to the postseason, six games, zero home runs, and one RBI.
How many at-bats?
And that's who you want to replace him with.
How many at-bats for Vladdy? Small sample.
Three different seasons.
Who's better?
Who's better on paper?
Who's better on the
field? No. In reality.
Who's the better player?
For $400 million or $120 with Pete, I would take $120 for Pete. Okay. For $100 times out of $100.
You're entitled to your opinion.
For sure.
I could not disagree more vehemently with that statement. I don't think the comparison is even close between Pete. One is far younger.
Uh-huh.
One is far better. One is a clear better investment and just a better overall player. Now, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes here. There's going to be pressure on him to perform not only every day in New York, but in the postseason. And I do think that there is value in that, BT, what Pete Alonso has done. It's one of the reasons why I was saying bring him back, because if it's just Pete versus, let's say, Christian Walker, well, at least I know Pete can perform in New York and has performed in the postseason. Whereas other guys, Walker, for example, whatever, you don't know about it. So if it's that close, then I'd side with Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad and Pete are not that close at all.
That's a good read. Modest, that's a fair read. It really is.
Plus, the Mets have a postseason performer in Juan Soto anyway. So whatever you think you're losing in Pete, and it's not even just about postseason, like in clutch spots and big moments, Pete didn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his clutch numbers.
I know.
Law of averages would say that both Judge and Guerrero, even if they struggled, much like Mike Schmidt, at some point in the postseason, they're going to get it going. No? You're too good not to.
Yeah, that Schmitty documentary was money. I know you referenced that because we were a little bit too young. Certainly, I was. You were barely born.
I learned. Me too. I knew who Mike Schmidt was. I didn't know the relationship he had with the Philly fans based off of the struggles in the postseason.
Me neither. I didn't know it was to that degree. I really didn't.
And by the way, I cannot wait till we have Boone in studio, Aaron Boone, hopefully to play the card game and talk to him. That's one of the things I'm going to bring up because I'm sure he was familiar with it from his days in Philly.
Yes.
And also, did he watch that and has he used that as an example for Aaron Judge? To be like, hey, look, Mike Schmidt struggled in the postseason and got booed in Philly. You know, maybe there's a teaching moment there for Joe.
Yeah, for those of you who missed it, Booney called Sal the other day, and you've probably heard us talk about this a few times, where he wanted to jump in, have a little fun with the BT and Sal card game, pick your card. And he actually called Sal. He says, I'm in. When are we doing this? Yeah. So we got to work on this.
Yeah, he called Sal and goes, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was BT.
He knew what he asked for. All right.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, time to make some picks. BT and Sal's football picks brought to you by ELAC 825, Building Our Future, and by London Menswear brand Charles Turwitt. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
For the perfect parlay pick segment, divisional round edition. There are seven games left in the NFL season. You have four this great weekend, two obviously the following weekend with the championship round, and then the Super Bowl, BT. Not much on the line between us, but for me, I'm going head-to-head with Evan, the inner show battle between picks champions throughout the course of the regular season. So that's on the line. None of us cashed a parlay last week. What do you have for us this week? Division round.
Well, as long as we got the music, then we can crank out some winners. I'll tell you, I got a lot of barking going on, Wax. I'm riding that dog express. We like a lot of dogs this week here, Sal. All right, first up, Saturday, 4:30, Texans at Kansas City. All right, I'm going with the Texans here. Now, C.J. Stroud is just really, really good. And I think the other thing, too, and I know they've been a little bit banged up at receiver. The O-line's been a bit of an issue. But, like, when we talk about the Texans, it's always about Stroud. It's never about their coach. They're also very well coached, not to mention as the head coach, but also Bobby Slowick, who is going to interview with the Jets, and actually I think already has.
Yes.
Very highly thought of in the NFL circle. So Kansas City, if this was a couple of years ago, I'm not touching this where I'm going the other way because Kansas City lit everybody up. They don't blow teams out anymore. I'm taking the 8. That's a big number. Give me Texans +8. Number 2, it's another big number here, +9.5. Detroit and the Commanders. Going Commanders. I can't imagine. You got to remember, I lived in Detroit. My second radio job. And what the Lions mean to those people, wow. That they haven't mentioned the Pistons or the Red Wings or the Tigers on the radio in a month, trust me. So the pressure is going to be insane for the players. Now, maybe they don't feel it. I think they might be a little tight early, understandably. I think the Commanders are worthy. Give me the 9.5 to cover, not to win, to hang around and cover. Now about Sunday. Another big number, 6.5, Philly. It's in Philly. The Rams, I did like the Rams last week. I was rewarded with that. I'm going back to the Rams this week. I'm taking the 6.5. That's the first game, as I said. Listen, got a lot of respect for Philly. I don't think their coach is amazing. I don't think their quarterback is amazing. And yeah, this could get sloppy and turn into a blowout. I don't think it does. Give me the Rams plus 6.5. Now, this one, it's a small number. It's basically a pick 'em. I'm going with the Bills. I'm going against Costos here. I know he always dumps on McDermott. I don't think McDermott's as good as Harbaugh, but I don't think McDermott's nearly as bad as Nick and others make him out to be. And I love Josh Allen, man, and I love that crowd. Maybe a little hard here, even as a Jets fan. Why would I root for the Bills? I don't know. A piece of me wants to see him crack through. Give me the Bills plus 1. So, in summation, Texans plus 8, Commanders plus 9.5, Rams plus 6.5, Bills plus 1. There you
all
go.
All right, all
Bills
dogs for you, BT. Hoff, yep. What do you got? No, not
anyone. Well, it's Friday. I'm feeling very good right now.
Yeah. You can pick the music, you can't pick the games. What do you got?
Well, guess what? If I go down, so does BT, because I went 4-for-4 with BT,
are
baby.
Are you serious?
Everything. I went all dogs this week. I think the I do think that the Rams are going to lose. I think the Eagles are going to win. I think that, obviously, KC's going to win. But I think the Lions are going to win, but I think they're just going to be closer games. I'm going Buffalo because I do like the fact that they're at home,
right,
which is the only reason why I'm going to give the Bills and Josh Allen a little bit of love here. Otherwise, I'd go Baltimore if it was in Baltimore. But that's it.
All right. There you go. Look at you guys in unison. And I'll be honest. Hit me with it, boy. Let's go here. Get me in the football. There we go. Yeah. Divisional round. I'll be honest with you. My initial thought was the same thing all week. I'm like, oh, I'm going dogs this week. And I do expect the game to be a lot closer. My best feel, like last week, my best bet was the Bills. My best feel this week is the Texans, plus 8. For a couple of reasons. Number one, actually for a few reasons. Number one, I was very impressed with the Texans' defense last week. I thought they just played a sound, crisp game defensively, forcing turnovers. They looked like they were up for the task in the postseason against a team who many people thought they were going to lose to in the Chargers. So they played a terrific football game. And you're right, BT. I think something was unlocked there with DeMeco Ryans, that defense, maybe the belief now that they won a playoff game against the Chargers where people didn't think that they could. They played a good game. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think they're a live dog in this game against a Kansas City team who I have not believed in all year long and has great rust. Remember, Kansas City really hasn't played a game since probably, what, Christmas Day?
I kind of forgot about that,
but you're
right.
Think about that. Took the foot off the gas last week of the season, another bye. I think the Chiefs can be had here. Give me the Texans plus the 8, maybe a little sprinkle on the money line because you get great odds, but that's game number one. Game number two, my initial instinct was, Jaden Daniels, this guy can't be stopped, right? And you think 9.5 is a lot, it's going to be better games this weekend. But then I got away from that because 10 is really not that big of a deal. Like, you can see at the end of the game, the Lions, when it's, let's just say, I don't know, 30-20, something like that. Lions at home, they're hungry, they haven't been resting for a while here. Dan Campbell better than Dan Quinn. Goff in that building, still experienced with the weapons. Give me the Lions minus 9.5 at home to cover against Jaden Daniels and Washington as their good season will come to an end. I'll be in alignment with you guys with the Rams. I think they're too well coached and too good. They've been playing tremendous football. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Eagles, but I think that's a field goal game. Give me the Rams plus 6.5. And then I got to go with the Ravens. This was an impossible game to pick. Impossible to pick. But if I believe Lamar Jackson is a better player than Josh Allen, and I've been on the record saying that he's the best football player, not best quarterback, best football player that I've seen, they look right now like they are a locomotive, BT. And it's going to be tough going up there in Buffalo. I get it. I expect a hard-fought game. Costos are saying maybe the Ravens blow them out. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Weather's going to be messy.
I still am going to, even Zay Flowers maybe going to be out for this game. I still favor, a part of me wants to see the Bills fans enjoy a win.
Mm-hmm.
But I still just believe the Ravens are better coached with Henry and Lamar. They're the better, more tougher team. And ultimately, if I have to pick one, and I do because I don't want to lose to Evan, give me the Ravens on the road in Buffalo. So in summation, Texans +8, Lions -9.5, Rams +6.5, and the Ravens on the road in Buffalo to get the win there.
All right, so now we're doing a little parlay here. Yeah. I'm going to do a little double parlay for you. I'm going to go with the Commanders +9.5 in Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of leaning on them being a little tight. And listen, the Bills Ravens, I had to make a pick there. I'm not going to keep going to that well because I don't know what the heck's going to happen. I do really feel pretty good about the Rams covering that number. So give me Commanders +9.5 and the Rams +6.5 in the Phillies to parlay. Hoff, what do you got?
I am going to do my four team.
Oh, God.
I feel good about it. And I do feel good about the Buffalo Bills +1. And listen, if all the dogs hit, woo, a lot of money.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out?
Bet the money line. I'm going to go Texans +8 and then the Lions -9.5. And I don't even love, I really just love one game, and that's the Texans, my best bet, strong feel. I'll bet the games. I want to have action. Buddy's coming in. We're going to be betting the games like animals, watching Surfside, going to rails. I can't wait. But if I had to bet a parlay, it would be the Texans and the Lions probably, because I just don't have a strong feel, certainly for the Ravens and Bills. It literally is a pick 'em game. And the Rams, I could see going either way. I could see Philly winning that by double digits or being a field goal game. So give me the Texans and the Lions for the perfect part.
And by the way, that Bills-Ravens game, I mean, that's a legacy game for Lamar. I mean, and Josh, too. I mean, think about this. That's a legacy game.
You asked Costos before, and I thought it's a fascinating question. And let me just get this read in here. This road, or the road to New Orleans on the Fan, is sponsored by Bet365. You asked Costos before, BT, who had more pressure, Detroit or Buffalo?
Yep.
How about Lamar versus Josh Allen? Like, the Bills are at home.
Yeah, that does kind of tilt it in their favor, meaning they have more pressure.
Really, both need it. Like, you almost wish that this was the championship game here.
I know.
But this is a legacy game, no doubt. And I would say probably because they're at home and because the Bills have been doing it a little bit longer, I would think it's Josh Allen, myself, more pressure on him.
Lamar played so well against the Steelers. He could have thrown 7 touchdowns if they kept their foot on the gas. So that alleviates some of the criticism. But Josh has had more good playoff games than Lamar. That will probably get forgotten if Lamar outplays Josh. Like, the national narrative would be, against Josh to an extent, which I get. You lose a home game, that's not good. I don't know. I guess, you're the quarterback of a home team. You got to find a way to win. Even if you don't play great, you got to find a way to scrap it out.
I mean, think of the storylines. Either way, each quarterback is going to be ridiculed here. If Lamar Jackson loses, it's going to be, man, another great season goes to waste.
No question.
Get it done in the postseason. And if the Bills lost at home, like, I do think it's time to consider firing McDermott. I mean, imagine the Bills fired him and brought in Bill Belichick. Which I'm just thinking, like, they're at a point, the Bills are at the point now where they need the no doubt about it, proven, guaranteed winner. Like, they're only a Super Bowl away. It's not like getting to a playoff level or having some postseason success. They need to win a Super Bowl, which would lead me to saying you've got to get somebody who actually knows what it takes to, in fact, win a Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that that's the answer, but that's what I would do there. If they don't win this game or really get to a Super Bowl this year, I don't know how you could just run it back again and hope for a different result next year.
I mean, what if they lose 23-20 at the gun on a 47-yard field goal? Does that, you still fire them?
Look, and I wouldn't be shocked if they did win. I know you picked them. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case, even picking against them, but they've done it differently. Now being more of a running team.
Oh, Cook is tremendous.
Okay, so that,
about, the Ravens, but Cook is an animal.
So that, in theory, should help them
definitely
get to that next level. Even if it's a close game, though, if they lose.
They got Mulatto back a month or so ago. Remember, he was hurt most of the season. He's a stud linebacker. I mean, they're ready. They got tight ends. Now, come on, win.
You're going to run it back? I mean, all right, aside from the picks, what matchups then do you think we get on Championship Sunday? So we gave you the picks with the spread. You think we're getting Chiefs and Bills, and you think we're getting Lions Eagles?
I think, I hate to go chalky. Let me put it this way: of the four, I think the underdog that I would give the best chance to win would be the Rams.
Okay, I think we're getting one upset guaranteed. I just feel it. There's two.
You don't count the Ravens because it's a one-point spread.
No. I'm talking about the other three bigger spreads. I think we're getting one upset.
We might.
I wouldn't be shocked if we got multiple. I could see the Texans and Rams. I can't really see. I mean, I guess Washington with Daniels, anything's possible. But I really can't. I could see Detroit losing next weekend. Mm-hmm. I can't see Detroit losing this game.
I'm not a. It's funny we do the parlay here. I'm not a big parlay guy where I'm actually putting real money down. I just think it's a little suckerish. Yep. I'd rather do a reverse or whatever. But if you're building a parlay, because I don't know if the Lions will cover, but you know, if you want to have like a 3 or 4 teamer, anything could happen. So this might backfire. You just take the Lions to win. Take the Lions on the money line and then find the 2 other 3 things that you like and, you know, juice the odds a little bit with that.
At least a little bit,
almost lock in one guarantee, even though there's no such thing.
You know what I've been doing that you could do now is manipulate the spread.
Oh, I've done that many times.
Yeah, I didn't even, like, because me, I was going old school for years. But now you could just say, like, okay, you can make that spread whatever you want. Yeah, I think the Lions are going to win, but going to win by a touchdown, so I'll give it at 6.5. Or you feel comfortable at 2.5, or just a pick. I'm like, you could.
Well, can you jack it up? Because I used to do this against the Jets. Yeah. I remember one time. I forget, it was a while ago. Like, it was like, maybe it was the butt fumble game. I actually, it may have been. Whatever the Jets were dogs that night, 12, 13, it was a big number. I actually juiced it up even more to like 17, and I got back, and I won.
You could do that as well.
And I bet like $300-400 on it. It was a nice one.
Right. So, I mean, you could either add the points or go down. Let's say I like the Texans to win. I just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take the Texans -3 or
oh, my God. If the Texans -3 would be sick.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be like plus 1,000.
Yeah, sometimes they hit.
Even I'm not saying they don't.
I do think we are going to get at least one upset, not counting the Bills-Ravens game. We are going to get one upset this weekend. All right, the road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. We come back, we'll finish with call of the day and your calls as well. NFL, you want to talk about Pete Alonso, whatever's on your mind, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Talk about your Jets on the Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call of the day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. We are going to go live for the call of the day today because we're short on time. Sean is in Atlanta. Sean, what's on your mind? Talking about Pete Alonso? Good.
Yeah, Sal, like you, I'm a Met fan, but I'm a little disappointed. You're, I think, in a different camp. But I wanted to ask, as a Met fan to a fellow Met fan, how are we supposed to take your take on this when you believe you and Jessica Alba are only a matter of timing in your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I didn't exactly.
That. I mean, like, you know, how the moves are, you seem like you're just going for the next shiny object.
I didn't
you got
exactly.
Soto. It's what you wanted.
Well, okay. Well, and you don't?
Now, you want Vlad, but he's not even technically available yet.
Well, what do you mean? How do you know that?
Well, I'm just saying, we've also were told by the experts, so-called, this past week that the Alonso deal was 90 mil 3 years, and it seemed like it was moving along, and then obviously it was very different.
No, we were not told that by the experts, as a matter of fact. There were no numbers on it. Baerga put that out there.
That's what I saw in articles posted by various different people who are in the biz rather than, say, you know, a layman on the street.
Well, all right. No, I understand that. And Baerga had that, Sean. So I'm still confused. What are you? You just want Pete back? I mean, I don't understand your point. You're not happy?
I would like Pete back. I think overall he was kind of trashed in New York unnecessarily. I know that the situation is Boris and ownership. And Boris is a little snaky. And I think Pete is more of a straightforward working class guy. And he made the wrong choice. And I understand that. But I don't think he needs his butt kicked going out the door. And I think he's put up a lot of numbers in the last few years, only compared to Judge.
But it's about
somebody done more.
And Sean, thank you for the call. Okay, there was a lot there. First of all, we're having fun with the Jessica Alba stuff. If you missed any of it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I wanted Soto not because he's a new shiny toy, because he's the best player that they could possibly get. Check number one. Number two, I want Vlad Guerrero Jr. because it's a legitimate possibility, and he is far greater than Pete Alonso. Number three, Pete did put up numbers years ago. The last 2 years haven't been very good, and in summation, the market, BT, is dictating where the numbers are at for Pete Alonso and the Mets. Or Pete in general.
I know what you're saying. Listen, it's also okay to be stuck in the middle on this a little bit. Nobody's going to put you in sports radio jail if you're a little confused. This is what I said at the top of the show. I get the conflict. Met fans, you want to win a World Series. Been a long time. If you get Vlad Guerrero over Pete Alonso playing first base and batting either before or right after Juan Soto, guess what? You're a lot better than with Alonso, which means you're closer to a World Series, okay? So you want that. But there's also, you know, the emotion, the sentiment that I've talked about a lot because I think that that's really important. Not enough to do something you don't believe in from a Mets perspective, meaning just because Pete means a lot to the Mets fans, the Mets should not give him $30 or $40 million extra because it's the right thing to do. Now, I'm not saying that at all, but I understand that it does seem right or wrong that Pete is getting kicked around a lot, and he shouldn't. But it has come to that a little bit, and it kind of sucks.
It doesn't mean
we're focusing on his shortcomings.
Well, because it's a reality. I am a passionate Mets fan. Doesn't mean that I'm always right about, let's just say, this exact example, but don't you think if Pete Alonso were doing something so special and something that I believed in so much, I'd be coming on here being, what the hell are you guys doing?
No question.
Okay, so then why am I okay with letting him go based on the way that they've handled this with the initial offer a couple years ago, this offer this year, and the idea of potential something bigger? Like, this is not out of nowhere. I believe that this is going to end up better than you think for the Mets because Stearns and Cohen have earned that trust.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you why you're doing it and why you're able to do it, because you're checking the emotion at the door. Now, what about the 19-year-old fan who hasn't seen much?
Harder for him or
yeah,
harder to do
what
that?
About the 29-year-old dad who's got a 3-year-old son or daughter who's been going to Queens with an Alonso jersey for 5 years?
They'll get over it.
I know they will. I know they will.
With winning?
I know. I'm talking now.
Yes, you're
That's
right.
That's what I'm saying.
Understood. Two remedies. Vlad or winning or both. But without that, then yeah, it's going to be hard to get up. All right. What a week. Fun week, BT.
Have fun with your boys at Rails this weekend. Don't get too nuts.
Oh, I'm going to have fun, though. Thank you for that. And you have fun with Colt and everybody else out there. St. John's tomorrow night at the Prudential Center.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
I'll be there in the day for the Devils, and then you'll be there.
By the way, if we weren't doing that, I'd be going to the game with you guys. I just can't.
We'll set up another game to get to Johnny's next week, so busy week.
Good
stuff. Thanks to Boyle filling in for Dole. Thanks to Hop for his work all week long. He'll be on the overnight tonight, 2 a.m. Check him out there. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back at it Monday morning, 10 a.m. Enjoy your weekend. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.